Today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Vav. We are holding on daf Mem Hey Amid Beis. We are at the Mishnah on daf Mem Hey Amid Beis. Again, discussing the various psulin ba'adam. So eluk sheirin ba'adam psulin be'behemah. So the Mishnah, the parak concludes with the following: there are certain things that are kosher for adam, but pasul by behemah. Because when we're talking about the psulei adam, remember we had three categories of psulei adam: those that are also psulei behemah. Then, in addition to that, you have things that were not shava bizarro shalaron. And then, in addition to that, you have things that were rasa mishamaris ayin. But we have yet to see anything that is problematic for a behemah and not problematic for Adam, and that's what this mission is about. Some of these things are simply not shayich for Adam. Oso ve'espino, there's no problem of oso ve'espino by Adam, meaning there is a problem to use a carbon and its child to shechta both on the same day, but by Adam, by the people doing the avoda of the carbon, it's not a problem to have the ovdim being oso ve'espino. The Gemara will explain exactly what that means. Trefa, if the person is a trefa, v'yotzei dofen, or if the person is Yotzei Dofen, those are puzzled by a behemoth, but they're not puzzled by Adam. And then in parentheses, some have this gear, so some don't. Vishenevda behen Avera, someone who an Avera was done with, Vishahemis as Adam, and someone who has killed a human being. That whereas an animal that's killed a human being is puzzled to use as a carbon, an Adam that's killed a human being apparently is kosher to use, if you have this girsa, is kosher to use as the person being Oved, the Avodah Sakarbanos. So it's Yantif writes that there are some nuschos that aren't gores this halacha in this Mishnah, and the reason is based on the Gemara Brachos Taflam Bezim Bez, where the Gemara tells us Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Koin Shaharges HaNefesh Lo Yises Kapov Shnemar Yidechem Damim Alo, that the pasuk says a Koin who's killed somebody is not allowed to even duchan because his hands are full of blood, and once his hands are full of blood, he's not allowed to do Birchus Kohanim. So you could say that just like he's possible to do Birchus Kohanim Mistama, he's possible to do the avoda as well, and the same would be true about Nevda ben Avera, about Gili Arayos, that in Mistama, someone who's done such averos is possible to do the avoda. But frekt the Tosus Yantiv, according to that, we should ask why the Mishnayos don't bring this psul of Hargis Anefesh va'avar Avera, meaning you want to say that he is possible, so that's why it doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Good, so put it in one of the other Mishnayos in our parak that discuss the various psulim of an Adam. Why isn't it mentioned in one of the other Mishnayos in this parak that discuss psulim? And the Rambam doesn't bring it either. So the Mishnah Melech in Bias Migdash Parak Tes Halacha Tes Vav and Tos Rabbi Kiveger on the Mishnayos are mayor that there's a Tosus in Yevamos. Tosus in Yevamos of Zayin and Manal of Dibra Maskel Shenemar, where Tosus is trying to explain a svara why it's dafka that Lo Yises Kapov, because he killed somebody and not anything else. Why does the Gemara emphasize that he's Lo Yises Kapov specifically? So Tosus says because Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar, those same hands that killed somebody should not go and bless Klal Yisrael with. So they point out based on that Tosus, it's mefurish that a Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh is only puzzled for Nesias Kapayim. He's actually kosher to do the avoda. So that's why some do have the gears on our Mishnah, Vishahemis as Adam, that he's kosher ba Adam. He's kosher to do the avoda. He's only puzzled for Nesias Kapayim because then Kategar Nasa Senegar. Question is, we know that the halacha is even if a person has killed somebody legally, let's say a person is the executioner of Beis Din, or let's say he's Davra Melech and he fights wars. So still there's such an idea that someone whose hands are full of blood shouldn't be the one that there's still such a concept of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar. That's why David HaMelech wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash. What if a person kills somebody completely ba'ones? Rav Avadya Yosef is true. What about a Kohen gets into a car accident and the other driver is killed, or a Kohen that's doing surgery and he accidentally kills somebody during surgery? Would you still say that he's not allowed to duchen? I don't remember Rav Avadya's conclusion. But I remember Rav Avadya's Shuvas in Yechavadas about it. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, the Mishnah Vayter. Vanosei Nashim ba'Aveira Pasul Ad Sheyadirena Hana'a. If a Kohen marries a woman ba'Aveira that he's not allowed to marry, a Grusha, a Chalutza, Rashi says, so he's Pasul to do the Avodah until he takes a Neder that he's not going to get Hana'a from her anymore. If he's a Kohen who's in the practice of being metame to dead bodies, so he's pasul until he takes a neder that he's no longer going to be metame lemesim. Fine. The Eil Ksherim Ba'adam, says the Gemara. Our Mishnah listed off things that are kosher Ba'adam and pasul Be'behema. My Ba'osav Espino, what do we mean that Osav Espino is kosher Ba'adam? What's an example of what halach are we trying to say about also about Adam in the realm of Osav Espino? Ilema Aronu Banav, if it's trying to say that Aronu Banav could do the Avodah together, even though it's father and son, the Kavasei, if you were to parallel that over to the animal world and discuss what kind of animals can be used as karbanos, so the parallel would be male animals. Tayush ubino, mi nahig, but by tayush ubino, is there even a din of osav espino by only males? Vatani osav espino nog bin kevos, ve'ino nog bizacharim. We have Bryce that tells us that osav espino was only shaykh to female animals, not to male animals. So where's the parallel? So what, you want to say that it's talking about females? El tiyash ubino, you want to say, okay, by the animal world, we know osav espino is about females. So parallel that to the human world, to kohanim, to kavasa hacha kohenes ubino. So what? Then the parallel is going to be that a Kohenes and her son cannot do the Avoda together? Kohenes bas Avodahi. What, a Kohenes can't do the Avoda anyway? She's a Kohenes, she's female, a woman can't do the Avoda. So what kind of parallel would it be anyway? So Sesmer Liolam Aron Ubanov. No, really we're talking about males. We're saying Aron and his sons. Aid Kavsaha Chataya Shubino. The parallel would therefore be in the animal world males, and we said before that there's a Brisa that tells us that males are not included in the Yisra of Osav Espino. Amri Bemarav, Mishmed Rabbi Yossi Baravin, Amra Chananya hi. We're assuming like Chananya. D'tanya Osav Espino, Noig bin Akevos, Noig bin Zacharim. Chananya Omer, Noig bin Zacharim, Ubin Akevos. Chananya says Osav Espino is Noig both by Zacharim and Nekevos. So we're assuming like Chananya, our Mishnah assumes like Chananya that Osav Espino could even be knowing by Zacharim. So our Mishnah says, yeah, even though it's knowing by Zacharim animals, there's no such din of Osav Espino when it comes to people. So a couple of points over here. The Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak asked on the Mishnah Lemelech, in the name of the Marit, who holds that women are kshiros on a bama, that even though a woman is not allowed to do the avoda, but on a bama a woman is allowed to do the avoda. So in fact, the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak in Or Chaim Simon Lamed Hey, he says, why doesn't the Gemara just answer the question that way? Say that the Mishnah is talking about Osav Espino, is talking about a woman, a female Kohenes, and her son. And it's talking about by a bama, where a woman is allowed to do the avoda. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't give that answer, isn't that an indication that the Mishnah Lemelech is wrong, that a woman is not allowed to do the avoda on the bama? So says the Tshuva Beis Yitzchak, no, maybe you could bedochak say that the Mishnah that it's too difficult, it's too dochak to say that the Mishnah is talking about a bama, to say that that's dafka the case of the Mishnah when it says Osav Espino is dafka by a bama. The Tzofnas Paneach, the Ragachover, writes that these mumim that are because of Eino Shav Bizar Shalaron do not passel by Obama. That these all the mumim that are Eino Shav Bizar Shalaron would not passel by Obama. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, Prima Gadim asks that we do find, again, the Gemara is trying to figure out where do you have a parallel between Osav Espino and the animal world and the human world. By animals, only by females, so by humans, you don't have such a thing by Avoda. How do you ever have a female doing the Avoda? Well, that's not entirely true. An Isha could do Shechita. There's no psul of Shechita by an Isha. So why don't you say that the case is very simple? It's Isha Ubna. It's a woman and her son. The woman does the Shechita of the Karban, and the son does the Kabbalah Sadam of the Karban. Those are two of the Dalet Avodas right there. And you have Osav Espino in the sense of a female doing it. So he says it could be that legabe this, a Shechita, would not be considered Avoda. We've discussed many times before, for what things is Shechita, we discussed in Zvachim a lot, for what things is Shechita considered Avoda, and for what things is Shechita not considered Avoda. We know it's different, because Shechita Ksheri Bizar. So we know right off the bat that it's got to be different. It's not really a full-fledged Avoda like all the other Avodos, but so maybe legabe this Inyan, Shechita would not be considered Avoda. And the final point I wanted to make, very chashuva point, we discussed recently, Prashas Drachim, Mishnah Melech, and Prashas Drachim raises a suffix when we say that there's such a thing as a Kohenes. Does that mean there's such a thing as a Kohenes? Is that really a female Kohen? Is she a Kohenes or is she just a Zar? When the Torah tells us that she can't do the Avoda, B'nei Aaron v'lo B'nos Aaron, what's the Torah being Mechadesh to me? Are we saying that she's a Zar and therefore she's Chayiv Misa when she does Avoda, and the Pasuk is being Megala that she has a full din of a Zar and she's not Bechlal B'nei Aaron? Or are we saying saying stam, it's a psul, it's an isra say of Bnei Aaron, that she is a Kohen, but she's, for whatever reason, a Kohen, is possible to the Avodah, because she's female. That's the Shaila of the Mishnah Mel. So in Asfonda Araisa, Rav Yosef Engel, and Asfonda Araisa, in Klal Yud Tes, discusses this at length, and he writes that from our sugya, we could prove that there's Zarin, and that it's not that she's a Kohen who just can't do the Avodah. Because if it was only a Psul, Midin Bnei Aaron, an Isra say, not a Losa say that you have Misa for being a Zar, and it's just an Isra say, then the Mishnah definitely would have had to let us know that the Isra of Elso of Espino is shayich by a woman, because if it was Noheg af b'makrivim, it would be an Isra of Losase of Elso of Espino. If the Isra of Elso of Espino was shayich even to the human world, so then it would be even a Losase as well. So Nisha that's Ovedas together with her son, aside from the Isra Asay of Bnei Aaron v'lo Benos Aaron, the Mishnah would need to tell me she's in violation also of a lav of Elso of Espino. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't entertain that possibility, that the Mishnah is teaching me an additional Isser of an Isha Ubina, so that teaches me that a Kohenes in the first place already was be Isra Lo Saseh, because she was Dina Kazar, she had a Din like a Zar, L'chol Davar, and therefore she would be Chayiv Misa, Mitzad the Zara, so there would be no reason for the Mishnah to teach me the Din of Elso Espino, and that's why the Gemara had the Kasha. Okay. Says Gemara Vaitu. Now two dots at the bottom of the page. Have Anosi Nashim Noder. Vanosi Nashim. So the Mishnah had said that if someone marries women ba'avera, Kohen marries women ba'avera, he's pasul until he's madu them ba'hana'ah. He has to take a neder, a hana'ah, against them. So Tana Noder va'oved yorid megarish. If he takes a neder even before getting divorced, he can still do the avoda. As long as, let's say, he's about to do the avoda, they say, wait a second, aren't you married to a grusha? He said, I take a neder, there's not going to be any hana'ah anymore. Okay, fine, but you're not divorced yet. I'll divorce her as soon as I'm done. Let me just do the avoda. That's fine. He could do the avoda, then be megarish. But wait a second. He's taking a neder. Is that a guarantee that the marriage is over? Maybe he'll go to a chacham. He'll be mati the neder, and then he won't have to worry about the neder anymore. He'll stay married to her. So kasavr tzarech lafari this neder. No, we hold that it needs to be mefari the neder. You can't just be mati the neder. You need to specify what the neder is. You're going to go to a chacham, and you're going to start saying, "Well, I have this neder against my wife. Well, what kind of wife? What are you talking about? She's a grusha. You know, why'd you take the neder? Because I wasn't allowed to do it." The chacham is not going to be matir such a neder, so you don't have to worry. As long as he has to be mefarit the neder, you don't have to worry that some chacham is going to come and be matir the neder. Says Amar Hanich l'mandiyam tzarich lefarit the neder. L'mandiyam tzarich lefarit the neder. Michael Meimer. That's great if you assume that he actually does have to be mefarit the neder. But what if he already doesn't have to be mefarit the neder? Then he could just pull the wool over the eyes of some chacham and get a hatara out of it. So says Amar de madrin leber rabim. We make him take a neder bir rabim where you can't do a hatara. Says Amar Hanich l'mandiyam neder. That's great if you assume that a neder shudah barabim is ain lo afara. But what if you hold even a neder shudah barabim is yesh lo afara? So the madrin alay adas rabim. Not only was the neder taken birabim, it was taken al das the rabim. And Amar Meimer hilchsa fil madrin neder shudah barabim yesh lo afara al das rabim ain lo afara. Even if you hold a neder that was taken birabim is able to be mufar, a neder that's taken al das rabim cannot be mufar. So if we make him take such a neder, so then we don't have to worry that the neder is going to disappear. We can let him go ahead and do the avoda even prior to divorcing his wife. V'hani mili l'dvar rashus. Aval dvar mitzvah yesh lo afara. And that's only for dvar rashus, but if there's some mitzvah reason, so then we'll have afara even in neder al das rabim. Ki Yehudu, what's an example of a dvar mitzvah? Kehudu mikri dardiki, wild story, the Gemara says. A mikri dardiki, a teacher of young children, Adri Rav Acha. Rav Acha took a neder that he's not allowed to be a mikri dardiki anymore, that he's been fired from his job, and so he did a bekoach of a neder, de ka pasha b'yanuki. Why? Because he was abusive. Rashi says, pasha b'yanuki, malka osan umesim. He was beating the kids up to the point that kids were dying under his care. So he took a neder. This person is not allowed to teach young children anymore. Vahadri Ravina. and Ravina gave him his job back. How could he get rid of the neder? He got rid of the neder because it was a tzoruch mitzvah, because he was the best Rebbe. The children knew the Torah. Those that survived knew the Torah better than anybody. So he was the best Rebbe, so they gave him back his job. Pikuach nefesh, zdocha kol ha-Torah kula. What do you mean? That you're going to give a guy a job back? He's mamash killing the children? Mistamer, Ravina made a deal with him that, listen, keep your hands off the kids, but teach them as well as you've been teaching them. Try to be a little less violent. Mistamer, he must have had some sort of deal with him. I don't know. But aside from that, just the fact that we said that that he can be oved before he's actually megaresh. So the Magen Avraham quotes from a Tshuvas Rabbi Elia Mizrahi that even if a kohen takes a neder hana'a from his wife who's pasul to him, from let's say a grusha that he's married to, and he's unable to divorce her because he's afraid for his life for whatever reason, still he can't be nosei kapav and he can't be kari rishon b'tor until he actually divorces her. A neder is not enough, says Rabbi Elia Mizrahi, for him to duchen or for him to get the first aliyah. So the Magen Avraham just wonders. He quotes his tshuva in Sim Kuf Chav Ches Sif Katan Tes, and he says it's mefurish lahepach in our sugya. In our sugya, it's clear that he can be oved even before he's megarish or bepoel, right? Because our Gemara says that he's no derva oved. He already megarish. He'll be megarish later. Maybe Rav Elia Mizrahi was talking in a situation where maybe the chiluk is that our Gemara seems like you're already megarish. You have to have the ability to be megarish right away. There has to be a clear plan in place about when he's going to be megarish, that he's going to be megarish very soon. But in the case of Rabbi Mizrahi, it was because of pachad nefashos, he wasn't able to be megarish, and he doesn't know if he's ever going to be able to be megarish. So when there's going to be a serious delay, you can't just wait for him to be megarish. Okay, fine. Next line in the Mishnah, it said, v'metamei lemesim. You have a kohen for whatever reason enjoys becoming tamei to dead bodies. So we said, in order for him to be able to do the avoda, he has to be mekabel on himself that he's not going to be metamei lemesim anymore. He needs kabbalah ala asid. So maishna hachad desagile bekabbalah, maishna hasam to madrin alay. Why is it when he's married to a grusha v'chalutza, we make him take a neder? But when he's being metamei lemesim, no neder, it's not necessary to take a neder. Just be mekabel on yourself not to do it. So why do we let him off so easy over here and we make him take a neder over there? And so Zagmara Hasum Yitzro Tokfo, big difference. It's a much bigger Yetzer Hara to stay married to your wife who you love, who happens to be a grusha, than there is a Yetzer Hara to be metame lemesim. So that's the difference. That's why we require a more serious separation from previous behavior when we're dealing with being married to a grusha v'chalutza, rather than in a case where the kohen is being metame lemesim. Beis Yosef, in Siman Kuf Chav Ches and Orchaim, in the Siman Babirchus Kohanim, quotes in the name of the Rashba that if a Kohen marries an Isha Psula, he marries a Grusha, let's say, even if he divorces her or she dies, he still has to take a Neder. And it's not enough to just divorce her. He says, and Beis Yosef says, B'Shem the Rashba, Kach Mavur B'Bechoros. Says that way in Maseches Becharos, that even if he divorces her, so we thought, no, what happened? He took a neder. Neder alone isn't enough. He has to, or neder alone is enough for the temporary. He has to then divorce her later as well. We're saying, well, we would have thought divorce itself. I mean, well, what could he do? Is there a better tshuva than that? He divorced her already. He says, no, he has to, in addition to divorcing her, take a neder, and somehow he sees that in our Gemara. Where does he see that in our Gemara? Says the Prima Gadim on the spot in Kuf Chav Ches, that is Rayos from the Gemara's Kash over here, this last line of the Perek, where the Gemara asks, why is it when you marry Nashim Psulos, you're chayv to take a neder, yet when a Kohen is Mitami Lemesim, he's not chayv to take a neder? What kind of Kasha is that? A Kohen is Mitami Lemesim, at the moment that he's in the Beis HaMikdash trying to do the Avoda, he's not still being Mitami Lemesim, he's just a Kohen who has a habit that at other times he's Mitami Lemesim. But a Kohen who's married to a Grusha, when he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he's still married to a Grusha when he's trying to do the Avoda. So what kind of kasha? Why do we make the kohen who's married to a grusha do more that he has to take a neder, whereas the kohen who's time of the mason we only make him just say that he's not going to do it again? They're very different cases. Elamai, we must be assuming that we're talking about a kohen who, while he's doing the avoda, is no longer married to the grusha, and still we require him to take a neder, and that's the gemara's al kasha. why is it that in both of these cases the Kohen's no longer doing the Avera? The Kohen Metamei LeMeisim is no longer being Metamei LeMeisim while he's doing the Avodah, and we say that's good enough to accept not to be Metamei LeMeisim in the future. And the Kohen who's married to a Grusha is no longer married to a Grusha when he's trying to do the Avodah, and we say still not good enough. You need to take a neder as well. That's how the Rashba read the Gemara. That's how the Prima Gadim defends the Rashba. The Ksav Sofer in the Tshuva says he doesn't buy it. The Ksav Sofer, Chaim Simita Zayin, says no, maybe that's the Gemara's answer. Maybe the Gemara's answer is Hasam Yitzro Tokfo. What the Gemara means to say is exactly this chilik of the Prima Gadim. When it says Hasam Yitzro Tokfo, means to say that when you marry to women who are apostle, you're chayv to take a neder because you're still married. And that's why it's Yitzro Tokfo. What do you mean? It's Yitzro Tokfo when they're not married anymore? No, the whole point of Yitzro Tokfo is that they're still married, and that's why it's Yitzro Tokfo. As opposed to by Thomas Mason, when he comes to do the Avodah, he's not Osek B'negia B'mesim. He's not being Metame L'mesim. So the Ksav Sofer doesn't think it's a great Raya, because it could be that exact Chilik, which the Rashba thought was assumed in the Kasha of the Gemara, is actually the Teretz of the Gemara. Okay, Hadron Alach Mumin Elu, that's all for the Mumin of a human being, of a Kohen, in terms of passing from doing the Avodah. Fine, new parak now. Yesh b'chol nachal v'enu b'chol l'kohen. We're defining the term b'char. It's Maseches B'charos, so it's about time that we define what makes someone a b'char. So there are two separate halachos of b'char. There's b'char l'nachal and b'char l'kohen. Now we're talking about for human b'charos, that a baby is born. The firstborn baby gets a double portion of the Yerusha. Firstborn male baby gets a double portion of the Yerusha. But there's another halacha that he also needs pidyon haben. But are those two halachos one and the same? Is everyone who's going to be a b'char and everyone who requires pidyon haben get double portion? Does everyone get a double portion also by necessarily get pidyon haben? So the Mishnah says no. Yesh b'chol nach l'veinu b'chol l'koin. Sometimes you could be a b'char for Yerusha, but not for pidyon haben. That's what we call b'chol l'koin is pidyon haben. B'chol l'koin veinu b'chol l'nachla. A person might be a b'char for pidyon haben purposes, but not a b'char for Yerusha purposes in terms of getting double portion. Sometimes b'chol l'nachla u'l'koin. Sometimes a person's a b'char for everything. V'yesh she'enu b'char lo l'nachla v'lo l'koin. Sometimes you could have a firstborn child who's neither a b'char, male child even, who's neither a b'char for nachla nor a b'char for kohen. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, let's start explaining. Ezehu b'char l'nachla v'enu b'char l'kohen. What's an example of b'char l'nachla that's not a b'char l'kohen? Which is the first of the four categories that we mentioned. Tosis points out sometimes when we give a list, we'll start with the last one on the list. Sometimes we start with the first one on the list. Don't really know why. Tosis just says hacha nakad amay de pasach bay v'zimnin de nakad de salik minay kidim farish breishin darim, for whatever reason. Okay, we're starting with the first one on the list. So what's a b'chol l'nachla that's not a b'chol l'kohen? Haba achar nefelim sheyatze es rosh chai. Let's say the firstborn living child was born after a nefel who had stuck his head out while he was alive. So such a situation, the baby would be a bechor, the first living baby would be a bechor for Yerusha, but not a bechor for Kohen. Why? So says Rashi, Sheyatza Rosha Shal Nefel Chai, Kigon Shayu Ta'omim, they were twins, right? And Echad Nefel, Ve'echad Kalul Chadashav. One was a Nefel that was premature, was never going to survive, and one had a full-term pregnancy. Ve'otzi Nefel Rosha Chai, the Nefel stuck its head out while it was still alive, Ve'chziro, and then went back inside. U'bacha Ve'ro V'kidmo, and then the other baby came out, So that second baby that comes out alive is a b'chol l'nachla. Why? The first baby that had stuck its head out did not cost him, the second baby, the opportunity to be the b'chor, even though sticking your head out is a leida. My taima, here's the important rule that's going to govern the rest of the Mishnah. To be a b'char l'Yerusha, it says in the Torah, Rashis Ono, which we darshan, Misha Lev Aviv Dava Olav, in Mace. It has to be someone who the father is concerned if the child should die. The father would be upset and saddened and be misabel if, on a certain level, emotionally misabel at least, if the child would die. Yatza Nefel Shotzi Rosha Rishon, Vavik Yalud, Delav Bar Kayamahu, Vein Libo Dava
lav. The nafel sticks its head out, even though it's alive while it sticks its head out, the father knows full well that baby's not surviving. So it's not libo dava lav. Mimela, it doesn't count as a bechor. The next one out that comes out as a ben kayama, as a full-fledged baby, that's the bechor. But when it comes to kohen, avalinian kohen, Potter, high Vlad Achron, the baby that comes out alive is Potter, Dibbe Peterechem Talia Milsa, Rishon Potter Asrechem, because Bechor Lekohen is totally dependent on the concept of Peterechem, the first one out of the womb, and the first one out of the womb was certainly that Nefel that stuck its head out while it was alive. Another example back in the Mishnah, Uben Tisha Shiatzor Rosh Hameis. Let's say you have a full-term baby that stuck its head out while it was dead, and then its head came back in, and then another baby came out. So it's not Libo Dava Love, because the father saw that it was dead already. So it's not going to be Libo Dava Love if it dies now. So that's why it's going to be a Bechor. The second one is going to be a Bechor L'Nachla, but still the second one's not going to be a Bechor L'Kohen, because the first one was Poterechem. Hamapelas Kamin Behema Chayva Of Divra Meir. Meir adds also if a woman miscarries first something that looks like a Behema Chayva Of, so it's certainly not Libo Dava Love, and therefore it's not a Bechor L'nachla, so the next one out will be the Bechor L'nachla, and the next one out will not be a Bechor L'kohen, because the Kamin Behema Chayvav was the Peterechem. L'cham say, no, it's not even considered a Peterechem when it comes out like a Min Behema Chayvav. Only something that looks like a human being is actually a Peterechem. Hamepelas Sandal, let's say a woman miscarries a completely flattened fetus. This happens sometimes. This is not so crazy. I was just, someone just told me about a shayla. My Rebbe was asked about a pregnancy where a woman was pregnant with twins, and one of them died, and the other one was alive. And the doctors recommended that the safest thing to do is leave the dead one inside until the birth of the live one. But when the dead one comes out, it's going to come out as a sandal. It's going to come out completely flat. No tzurisavad, it's going to come out completely like a sandal. So the shaila was whether you need to do kvura on such a baby. The Boston Rebbe called up Rav Shechter and asked him this shaila. Do you need kvura on such a baby? It's an interesting shaila, not so pashut. But anyway, it does happen. Hamapela sandal. Oshilya. Oshvir Merukam, or all sorts of deformities, the amniotic sac, etc. Vayotim Chutoch, or the baby comes out, Rachman al-Islan, all cut up into pieces. Sahaba Achareim, the next child that comes out afterwards, is Bechor L'Nachla, Ve'in a Bechor L'Kohen. Is a Bechor for Nachla, but is not a Bechor for Kohen. The next one afterwards is the Reshus Ono, so it's going to be the Bechor L'Nachla, but it's not going to be the Bechor L'Kohen, because it's not the Peterechem. Fine. Mi shaloha ilo banim. Next case. Someone who doesn't have children. V'nasi isha shekvar yelda. And then he gets married to a woman who already had children. So again, when it comes to Bechor L'Kohen, it's tali in Peterechem. When it comes to Yerusha, it's tali in the father's firstborn. Rashi's, oh no, it's tali on the father. So that's another big difference between Bechor L'Nachla and Bechor L'Kohen, is who we look at, the father or the mother. So someone who doesn't have banim, v'nasi isha shekvar yelda, Oda shivcha v'nishtachra, if let's say she was still a shivcha and she was freed, Oda avedis kochavim v'nizgayra, she was still an avedis kochavim and she was misgayer, mishabasal Yisrael yolda, and then after being megayer, after being mishtachrer, she had the baby, so that baby is bechor l'nachla ve'in bechor l'kohen. It's a bechor l'nachla, but not a bechor l'kohen. Why is it not a bechor l'kohen? Because at the time of the pregnancy, she was not yet Jewish. So such a baby is a bechor l'nachla ve'in a bechor l'kohen. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Amar bechor l'nachla u'l'kohen. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says no, it's a bechor l'nachla and to l'kohen. Shenemar peta rechem b'Yisrael. That even though there was another baby there previously, but still that wasn't under Jewish birth, and only a Jewish birth counts as Peterechem. Any birth that happens when she's not a Jew doesn't count as Peterechem. Such a chiddush in the pasuk, Peterechem be Yisrael. So the Marit Al-Ghazi writes that the svar of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is that you need to be Peterechem be Yisrael. Is only that svar l'chora you could have said by a behema as well. What if you have a behema that was owned by a guy that was yolda Bereshus guy, and then a Jew buys it, and the behema is nolad again, it's molded again, Bereshus Yisrael. So should you say that it's a Bechor? Because it's the same pasuk. petarecha be Yisrael, should he say the same thing by a behemah or a gal? He says definitely not. Even though the pasuk is said, even by the same pasuk is said by bechor behema, nevertheless we don't make this drasha by a bechor behema, only by a bechor adam, because it's most mistaver that this drasha applies only to bechor adam. Because since we say legabe other things that a gershon is gayer is kakatan shenola dami, we say that when a person is gayer, it's like they're a new person. So then it makes sense that you have such a din, a gershon is gayer kakatan shenola dami, that the firstborn animal is going, that the firstborn baby after the gerus is like the first baby this woman ever had. You understand? Such a svara, because she's kakadosh shnala dami. She's like a new person. But by a behema, you have such a din. When you buy a behema from a guy, that it's a kakadosh shnala dami? No, there's no such din of a kakadosh shnala dami. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that this behema's second child is going to be considered a bechor, because it was the first child under Jewish ownership. That's how the Marit Al-Ghazi suggests. Question is, do you have such a thing that when you buy something from a guy, that in some way it's like a katan shenola, it's like coming into kedusha, or is it just no? It's a chefza. It's not no new status or anything. So some of the posts of the Avnei Nezer is quoted by his son, by the Shemi Shmuel, as saying that when a Jew converts, when a Jew converts, what does he say? That if a Jew has kelim, and he when a guy has kelim and then he converts, that the to Judaism, that the kelim don't require tevila, because the kelim have the his tevila is ola for his kelim as well. So what does that mean, that his tevila is ola for his kelim as well? Apparently even this inanimate chefza somehow comes along for the ride in the conversion, but that's only agav, a person that's going through a change. It's unclear what that means anyway, but that's agav, a person that's going through a change. But stam to say a chefza behema, when it's sold from a guy to a Jew, that it's going to be katan shenola, we don't have any such din of katan shenola. That's from Marit Al-Ghazi points out. Fight mi shayu lo banim v'nasi isha shlo yila. Let's say a guy who's had previous children, so he's already had his bechol and achla, and he marries a woman that's never had children. Nisgayru mu'beres, and she's misgayer while she's pregnant. Nishtachru mu'beres, she becomes nishtachru while she's pregnant. Yolda hiva kohenes, so let's say she gives birth, and a kohenes gives birth whose child wouldn't be chayv in pidyon ben, and they mix up the babies, they don't have an identifying tag on the babies. Levia also, the child of a Levia is not chayv in pidyon ben. So let's say she and a Levia both give birth, and they again mix up the babies. Or hivi isha shekvar yelda, she and a woman who's already given birth both give birth. So obviously, a woman who's already given birth doesn't have a chayv in pidyon ben. So they mix up the babies in that situation as well. V'chein mishalosha salachar bayil shlosha chadashim v'niseis v'yelda v'en yodurim b'nteshul rishon u'men shivul achron. Or in a situation again where the husband already has had a child before, he now gets married to this woman, but he's marrying a woman who had been married within the last 3 months. So normally the halacha is that you have to wait 3 months before you get remarried. The woman has to wait 3 months before you get remarried because of havchana. We need to know, is it... We need to know whether if she has a baby 7 months later, we're going to need to know whose baby it is. But let's say she didn't wait the 3 months, she got married anyway. So we have absolutely no idea whose baby it is. So then that's so it's a suffix whether it's chayiv in pidyon ben or not. Because again, pidyon ben is totally in the petarechem. So halacha is b'chol l'kohen ve'eno b'chol l'nachla. It is chayiv in pidyon ben, but it's not a b'chol l'nachla. There's not going to be any Yerusha. Big suffix pidyon ben, we're going to say that it's b'chol l'kohen, that it's going to be chayiv. So, but who's going to be chayiv? So you have to say, no, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. So it shouldn't be that the father is going to be chayiv in pidyon ben. I'll say, bring me a raya that it's chayiv. If you look at Rashi at the bottom, chayim mishal shasa nami b'chol l'kohen b'hu yifta atzmo. He should be poda himself. You can't be mechayiv the father in pidyon ben based on that. Let the baby be poda himself when he gets old enough. V'lo l'nachla d'hol yadaman yaris, but he's not going to be b'chol l'nachla, because we don't know who he's supposed to yarshin. So the Gemara says, wait a second, he shouldn't even be a pashut. Forget about not being a bechor l'nachla. We don't even know if it's his baby, if it's this father's baby. So he shouldn't even be able to take a chelik pashut, because the other brother should be able to say hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. That's what the Gemara is going to point out. Now the Ramban writes Maseches Yevamos, and we talk about over here a case of a woman who's in a skyrim uberes. She's miskayer while she's pregnant. So the Ramban in Maseches Yevamos writes, based on that which we passed, that a muberish in the skyra, that the child does not require tvila after he's born, because the tvila of the mother works for the child. So says the Ramban, we see from there that tvila sager works even if it's done before the mila. Because obviously the uber, you can't do mila on an uber. I don't know, maybe now with all the surgeries they're able to do in utero or whatever, I still don't think they do a mila yet. But they don't train Moalim to do that. It wouldn't work anyway, because he has to be a ben shmon, otherwise it doesn't count as a mila anyhow. So yeah, obviously not doing a mila yet. So he says, you see that by, even though the gerus process normally requires mila before tevila, but if you do the tevila before the mila, it must work, because it works on the uber. The tevila works even though he is a dayan lomal. What's clear from the Ramban is that a male uber does not become a ger until he's yatzala avira olam and he's yimal, until he comes out and he actually has a mila. So the achronim ask, wait a second, our Mishnah seems to be against that Ramban. Again, the Ramban's working with the assumption that he doesn't become a Jew, the baby doesn't become a Jew until he gets the mila after he's born. But our Mishnah says that a muberish and zgaira bina, that her child is going to be chayv in pidyon ben. Well, why should he be chayv in pidyon ben? At the moment that he was born, he wasn't Jewish. If the gerus doesn't work until the time of the mila, he was nolad kigoy. So how could he be chayv a goyish in his gayer in pidyon ben? It's ridiculous. So it must be that the Ramban is wrong. That's the kasha that all the achronim ask on the Ramban. It's a very, very stark kasha. I'm not sure how to answer it. Achiezer asks this kasha. Chilek beisim chavtes ozvav. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel's Mechadish following it in. Eina Rosh Potter by Nefelim. The head alone is not enough to potter by Nefelim. Meaning if it's a Ben Shmona in an 8-month pregnancy where he sticks his head out even when he's alive and then he puts his head back in and his brother comes out and the other twin comes out first, that other brother is going to be a Bechor LeKohen. The Rosh alone is not going to potter until it's Rosh of Rubo would have to come out by a Nefel to take away the status of Petar Rechem from the next baby. Rosh alone is not going to be enough. My time. Makal Asher Nishmas when do we say the Rosh matters? When there's Nishmas Ruach Chayim Ba'apav, when the baby has a chance to survive. A Nathal has no chance to survive. Idach lo chashav reshe, right? And a baby who has no chance to survive, his rosh doesn't count as anything. It needs rosh of veruba. That's Shmuel's din. So says Martina and Habach and Nefelim shiatzar rosh chay uben tishah shiatzar rosh meis. The Mishnah gave two examples: a baby that's born after a nefel that rosho came out chay, or a ben tishah shiatzar rosh meis. But katani miya rosho. What are we saying? Will already make it a petar rechem? The rosh of a nefel. So says Mar, no, my rosho rubo. Rosho doesn't mean rosh over there. It means rubo. Rubo. Yeah? Well then, Velisni Rubo. Let it say Rubo if it means Rubo. Vidinu Dubai Le Misin Rubo. You're right. It should have said Rubo, but it needed to say Rosho, even though it meant Rubo for a different reason. Vaidi to Kabbalah Misin Seifa, because the next line of the Mishnah was going to say, Ben Tisha Shiyatza Rosho Mace, a 9-month-old baby, a 9-month pregnancy baby that stuck its head out while it was dead, time of the and we needed to be Medayik that it's stuffed by Rosh, that time of the Rosho Mace, only because it stuck its head out while it was dead. Harosho Chai, but had the 9-month baby stuck its head out while it was alive, Haba Achrav Bechol Anach Lenami Lohavi, then the baby that would come after that is not only not a Petar Rechem, the baby that would come after that is not even a Bechor L'Nachla, because a Ben Test that sticks its Rosh out Chai is considered a full-fledged birth, and he was the Bechor, who then dies, and then the next baby is not a Bechor for anything. So that's why it had to say Rosh in that line. So Tana Resha Nami Rosho, so the Resha also had to mention Rosho. So what? Because of that, it says Rosho Maika Mashmul. What's the whole Kiddush of that line? Dikivin the Mabakle Reshe have a Leda. What, you want to tell me that a 9-month-old baby, when 9-month pregnancy baby, when it sticks its head out, it's considered a Leda? That's the Gansa Chiddush of the Mishnah. Tanina, Hotzi Rosh Av Pichuk Zira Rezi Kelud. We already have in regards to a Behema, when we talk about a Ben Pakua, that if it sticks its head out, even though it brings it back in, it's already Kiyolud. It's going to require Shchita. So by Ben Pakua. So we already know that sticking a head out is considered a Leda. We need our Mishnah to tell me that. Vechite Mashmin Behema Vakamashman Ba'adam. Maybe you can say, no, we have another Mishnah that tells me a Behema sticks its head out is considered a Leda. How do I know that a human that sticks its head out is considered a Leda? That's our Mishnah. You can't learn Adam from Behema because a Behema doesn't have Prozdor. What that means is that when a Behema is molded, the thighs of the animal aren't in the way. So the baby's not blocked at all. When a human is molded, the thighs of the woman are in the way, so the baby is blocked. Behema, so you would think that the Rosh coming out by a human is not as significant because it's not really out. It's still blocked a little bit. Behema me Adam lo Yalfa. You can't learn behema from Adam that the Rosh is significant. Mishum dechashim parts of panim didei. Because an Adam's parts of panim means a lot more than a behema's facial features. And therefore you would say dafka by an Adam the Rosh matters, not by a behema. So that's why I need two mishnayis. Maybe you'll tell me that you need two mishnayis. One tell me that Rosh matters by Adam, one tell me it matters by behema. Nah, that can't be either, because Hanami Tanina, even Gabe Adam, the Mishnah Maseches Nida teaches us that Yatza Kedarko, Mishiyatza Rov Rosho, that if it's Yatza Kedarko, if it's going, the baby's coming out in the right way, head first, so as soon as Rov Rosho comes out, it's considered a Leda, and the clock starts on Tumas Leda, the week of, for a boy, followed by the Imeitara, etc. Even if the baby sticks head back in and doesn't come out again for another 3 months, the clock already started in terms of the Tumas Leda. Vezu Rov Rosho, Mishiteze Petachto. And Rov Rosho is when the forehead comes out. So the bottom line is, you can't tell me that the whole Chiddush of our Mishnah is that the Rosh coming out is a Leda, and that's why Dafka has to say Rosh in the Reisha, even though it really means Ruba. Can't be! Says Mar Tiyufta to Shmuel Tiyufta. Yeah, so Shmuel's incorrect. There's no such din of Rubo by Yenefel. Even Rosho by Yenefel is enough. Rashbam Masechta Basra famously says, whenever you have a double Tiyufta, Tiyufta to something Tiyufta, it means that we cannot pass them like that. There is a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, one of the Al-Kigam, Sanhedrin of Zayin and Manalev, when it talks about a mumar ochlin veil slahachis machlok zabai rava, the Gemara over there says tiyufta da'abai tiyufta, and then a few lines later says hilchsa kavase da'abai. Sounds like it's against that Rashbam, but says the Maritz Chayis, no, the Gemara is allowed to paskin against the double tiyufta. We're not allowed to paskin against the double tiyufta. Amar Bishim ben Lakish, padachas poderes b'kol makom chutz ben anachla. The padachas coming out is enough to pater for everything except for by nachla. My taima yakir amar rechmana. So it's not considered a full fledged birth for nachla because you have to be able to have a recognition of the baby. There's a din of yakir. From Yochanan, Rafilu l'nachla. No, even for nachla, it's good enough. Bekol makom lasuye mai. So what does it mean, bekol makom? He said that the Rosh, the padach is coming out, is good for everything except for nachla. What's everything? So lasuye had the Tanu Rabbanan. Giyores yatsa padachas vlada biyosu nachris. Let's say Giyores had her fetus stuck its forehead out while she was still a guy. V'achar kach neskayir, and then she was megayir. Ein nosu yimei. She doesn't have to observe Yimei Tum and Yimei Tara because she doesn't have to bring Korban Leda either, because we assume that Yitzias Padachas is considered the Leda. So the Leda happened while she was a Goya. So Meisve Yakis Huakaras Panim, Vezu Yakaras Panim. Parts of panim im hachotem, but doesn't it say that yakir means that it requires the face come out together with the chotem? It's a kashan Rabbi Yochanan. He said just the padachas coming out is good enough. So tani ad hachotem. Okay, change it. Shouldn't say im hachotem, say ad hachotem. Toshma ein meidim el al parts of panim im hachotem. So again, tani. Adachotam Tashma Padachas below parts of Panim below Padachas Ein Miidinachi Ushneim Imachotam. You can't testify about someone who is dead unless you saw the person with the whole parts of Panim without the Padachas, or Padachas without the parts of Panim. You can't, it's not good enough. You need to see everything, you need to see the whole face. Vam Rabbi Vitim Ravkana Mikra Hakaras Panayim Ansabam. So you see that it's not called Hakaras Panim. You don't have a din of Yakir, it's not a din of Veleda, should therefore not be din of yakir for getting a pishnayim either, unless it came out up until the nose as well, not just the padachas. So says Marna, shiny edusisha dachmira bar rabbanon. That's for edusisha to testify that a woman's husband is dead. That's where you need to know with certainty, because we're more machmir edusisha. Frankly, more miach miru vatan huksulius masimed mipi isha mipi evan mipi shivcha. By edusisha, we're always more makel. We allow a woman to testify an evad, a shivcha. Anyone could testify that a woman's husband is dead. We're more makel. Not more machmir, kiyakil rabbanon b'sof, but kiyakil akil rabbanon. No, we're only more makil in terms of who can be made, but in terms of what they had to see, we're always more machmir. Or you could argue that the halachos of b'chol and achla are different than the halachos of edus yishra. Yakir and hakaras panim are two totally separate halachos. Okay.